Today's shir is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich, Lili Nishmas, their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shir is dedicated for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechta Ksubos Daf Tzadik Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, Maskla Rav Yosef. In our previous shir, we had discussed the halachas of a husband who passed away. One wife died before him, one wife died after him. And we explained that the wife who survived her husband is entitled to a ksuba payment. She, or if she's not alive anymore, her yorshim. And then we also spoke about the concept of the ksubas ben dechrin. And we know, as we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn in our shir, that in order for the halacha of the ksubas ben dechrin to be effective, we have to have a maisa dinner. There has to be a dinner through which Yerusha could be accomplished. And the question is, if the husband who passed away left exactly enough to pay the second wife's ksuba and the ksubas ben dechrin, is that considered as if there was a maisa dinner? And in our shir, we said that that's actually the Gemara at the end of yesterday's shir, suggested that that is a machlokes of Rabbi Akiva. That's machlokes of Rabbi Akiva in the Tanna Kamma. And we learned that the Rabbi Akiva holds that it's not. As we learned, the Gemara's wording for this machlokes was ksuba nas moisel chevertop. Could the ksuba payment that we're paying to the second wife or to her children be considered the moisel dinner? And the Gemara suggested that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that it cannot. But ask the Gemara, ask Rabbi Yosef, how can we say that that is what Rabbi Akiva meant to say? Ihochi, if that's what he meant to say, Rabbi Akiva Oimrim, when Rabbi Akiva expressed his opinion in yesterday's shir, the way he expressed it was by saying, Kofza Nachla. The Nachla, the children of the first wife have lost the ksuas ben dechrin. Kofza means it jumped away. The issue, asked the Gemara, is not if the Nachla Kofza went away or not. The way it should have been expressed, if that's the way we're going to learn, is Miesham Mirsadinim Abayle. The way Rabbi Akiva should have expressed himself is that we need to have a Maisa dinner besides the ksuba payment to the second wife. That's the cogent point. Why, if that's what Rabbi Akiva meant to say, why did he express himself the way he was expressed? Elam Rabbi Yosef, and because of this question, says the Gemara, the Machlaikas is a different Machlaikas. If Achas B'chayev and Machlaikas that we discussed also in our previous year, Achas B'chayev, the Machlaikas is a Machlaikas, the case that we described at the beginning of our shir now, where one wife survived the husband and the other wife did not survive the husband, is there a ksubas ben dechrin payment at all in such a case? For as the Gemara explained as well in our previous year, if there's going to be a ksubas ben dechrin payment, the children of the second wife who collect their mother's ksuba are collecting the mother's ksuba because they are bali chayiv. The father or father's estate owes them the ksuba. The first one, the ksubas ben dechrin, is being collected as a Yerusha, which will therefore mean that the children of the first wife are going to be getting a larger share in the inheritance of their father than the children of the second wife, which, as the Gemara said, this could read tinsuye. This could lead to a fight between these yarshim. And therefore, we learned in the yesterday shir that it's a question if there is a ksubas ben dechrin payment in such a situation. And now the Gemara is saying that that's exactly the machloikis of the Tanna Kamma Rabbi Akiva. Tanna Kamma says that even in such a situation, there is a ksuba payment. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that in such a situation, because of the kshash that we just expressed, of insuye, Chazal said that there is no ksuvus benin dichrin payment. V'hani tanoi says the machloikus. This machloikus of the bananas of Kiva is actually says the gemara kahani tanoi. The same machloikus the Tanya nosra shayna mesa. If the first wife, he married the first wife and she died before the husband, and then nosra shneiva mesu, and then he married the second wife and he died before her. The children of the second wife, after he passes away, have a right, as we just said, to collect the ksuba of the mother. If there's a maisa dinner left above the amount of the two ksubas, so then the second wife's children, they take the ksuba of their mother for a payment. Ve'elu, and then the children of the first wife take the ksubas imon for the ksubas benin dichrin payment. Vimlav, but if there isn't a meiser dinner, then there is no ksubas benin dichrin. Because Rav Shimon says, and we'll speak about Rav Shimon's opinion more, Rav Shimon's opinion is, in order for the ksubas benin dichrin payment to be paid, we have to have a dinner, meiser dinner. So suggest the Gemara, my lav, what is the machloikus in this brisa? The masover achs b'chayiv b'achas b'moisa yesh lebesuvus dichrin. There is a ksubas benin dichrin payment. Masover, whereas the Tanakhama's opinion is the achs b'chayiv achas b'moisa ain't lem ksubas benin dichrin payment. Says the Maraloi, that's not the way to necessarily explain this machloikus. We could say the kula amma, everybody will agree. There's always going to be a ksubas benin dichrin payment for hachop, and here the machlokes is dinner mikakoy kamifli. The maisa dinner that we said that there has to be in order for us to apply the rule of ksubas benin dichrin. The question is, how does that maisa dinner have to be? The dinner mimakakoy kamifki. The machlokes is, does it have to be a dinner of real estate? Or as long as there is a dinner in the estate, that is enough. Mar Savar, the Tanakam's opinion is, mimakakoy in, the only way we could collect the ksubas benin dichrin is based if there's real estate. Or ma matatli, but if there's a maisa dinner in the estate, but it's not real estate, it's other assets, we don't pay out the ksubas benin dichrin. Well, Marsov, Rav Shimon's opinion is that feel matantli, even matantlin could be used to be the maisa dinner to pay the ksubas benin dichrin. And as Aisura Chedush Rim explains, why would the Tanakhama say that the maisa dinner has to be karka? So he says a concept that we've learned so many times in Amasechta. Amasechta, we've learned that according to the Gemara, yes, we've learned that the Tekanas HaGoyim is not like that. But if we learn the Gemara, a woman only collects from Karka HaKsuba. So we see that Karka is a different class of asset than Metatlin. And he goes on to explain that Chazal instituted, as we explained in our previous year, this ksubas benin dichrin payment to satisfy the wife, to satisfy her father. In those days, people relied on real estate. They realized that matatlin were a very weak asset. The reason matatlin are a very weak asset, because matatlin could always be hidden. Real estate, you can't hide. And therefore, in this halacha as well, they only accepted metaltlin to be the ksubas benin, the character of Shimon, the Tanakhama held, could be the maisa dinner, something else not. And Shimon said, no, anything could be, as long as there's a value of a dinner, it's enough. Ask the Gemara, Matzat Amrin Hachi, is that the way we could explain the machloikus? For Tanan, we're going to learn in the Mishnah on this Amid, even if the father left over assets, metatlin, ain't a klum, they can't be considered the maisa dinner. Unless there's a maisa dinner in real estate, yes, ashtek subas dinner. So we see that Rav Shimon opinion is very clear that he holds that you has to have karka. So how can we, to be the Moisa dinner, how can we have explained in the previous brisa that Shimon doesn't require that it should be karka? Ella haka bedina mishabdi kamifgi. The question here is that the father left over a dinner worth of real estate. But this is the way Rashi explains. The Rashi explains that this dinner of karka is mortgaged to a loan that the father took out. So now the question is, yes, we have the father left over karka, and yes, the karka is worth a dinner, but the dinner is mortgaged. Is that considered as if he left over a dinner or not? Again, reads the Gemara Lahacha, but dinner mishabdi kamifkli. Masav, the Tanakam's opinion is, that the moisa dinner that we have to have has to be karka, and it has to be karka that's unencumbered. No mortgages on it. Mishabdi loy. And Masav, Rav Shimon's opinion is going to be a filim mishabdi. Even if it's encumbered, even if it has a mortgage, it's going to be considered a moisa dinner. There is the Meiri, and I saw the floor also speaks about this, has a different explanation of Mishabdi, just to note their explanation. They say Mishabdi means that the father is owed money. The father is owed real estate. And the question is money that somebody is owed, but they don't really have it at hand, considered as if they have it, or it's not considered as if they had it? But again, that's not the pshat that we're going to learn. Ihachi, so that if that's the way we're going to explain, that if a mortgaged property is considered that moisa dinner, Rav Shimon Omer, im yesha moisa dinner, Rav Shimon seems to be a machmer. If we read the words of the Braisa, Rav Shimon is coming to limit, that the Tanna Kamma is more lenient in what could be considered a moisa dinner, and Rav Shimon is limiting it. But the way we're learning now, actually, Rav Shimon is the Mekel. And Rav Shimon's saying, as long as there's a Moisa dinner of Karka, even though it's Karka that has a mortgage on it, it's still considered Moisa dinner. So the way Rav Shimon should have expressed himself, if that's the way Rav Shimon is truly saying, Kivin Shesha Moisa dinner Mebaile, the way it should have been said is that way. Ella, the Machloikas here is B'Pox Medina Kamafki. The Machloikas here is, if there's less than a dinner, can we still apply the ksubas for the nichron payment? Tanakama holds mass of a dinner in. It strictly has to be a dinner left over to apply the dinner of ksubas for the nichron. Pox me dinner, but if there's less than a dinner left in the estate, loy, we don't apply the din of ksubas for the nichron. Omar, Reb Shimon's opinion is, I feel a pox me dinner, we could apply the halacha of ksubas for the nichron. Tysus, the very maskal Ella, asks, but we still have the question that we asked before. So if that's the case, Rav Shimon, again, we're defining is the lenient opinion. And Rav Shimon is saying that you don't have to have a dinner. A pachsmi dinner is enough. So then he should have said, as the Gemara asked a moment ago, kivin shiesham, pachsmi dinner, it should have been enough. So Tysus doesn't really have an answer to this question. Says the Gemara, for Rav Shimon asked the and Tysus really seems to say that the Gemara could have asked this question, but the Gemara asks another question, which is even a stronger question. We're saying now that Rav Shimon's opinion is that a pachas midinah is good enough. But ask the Gemara, look at Rav Shimon's words. For Rav Shimon dinner comer. Rav Shimon explicitly said you have to have a dinner. How could you suggest that pachas midinah is enough? And in fact, all the Rishonim try to understand how we could have ever had a Havamina that a Pachs Medina is enough when Rav Shimon so explicitly said a dinner. So one teretz that I saw, the Shita says that what the Gemara thought Rav Shimon meant with a dinner is that, of course, he holds you have to have a dinner. But let's say there are assets that right now are not worth a dinner, but we know that if we wait for the right time in the right place, they'll be worth a dinner. And well, the Gemara and the Havamina learned that that's enough for Rav Shimon for it to be considered a value of a dinner, because it's ultimately going to be worth that much. Another teretz that I saw is from the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua says that The Gemara in the Havamina thought that Rav Shimon holds, as we said a few moments ago, that you always have to have karka. You always have to have real estate to be that Moisa Dinam. And the Gemara here thought that since real estate doesn't have a firm price, so even though if currently the real estate is not worth a dinner, but it's very likely that you could get a dinner for it. That's why Rav Shimon would say it's considered that you have a dinner. But again, says the Gemara, but that's not what Rav Shimon said. If we look at his words, he said very clearly, dinner kama. V'chitem, and if you'll say, epoch, we should reverse the opinions of Rav Shimon and Tana Kama. And we'll say that Tana Kama holds that the Tana Kama is of the opinion that they collect the ksubas b'din dikrin, even if it's less than a dinner. And Rav Shimon is the machmer, and he says that you have to have a dinner. But says the Gemara, there's still no way to attribute to anyone that less than a dinner of assets is still enough to apply the halacha of ksubas b'din dikrin. Because even the Tana Kama, the Masnisin, asked the Gemara, Tana Nami dinner kamer. Oh, nobody says that less than a dinner should be sufficient. Says the Gemara, Ella, we're going to have to explain, Anach Trai Lishna Kamoi. Like we're going to have to explain like we explained previously. Or we're going to have to say that they're arguing over if the dinner, the Maisa dinner that has to be left over is Metatlin. Can that be considered the Maisa dinner? Or we're going to have to explain that the machlokes here is if the Maisa dinner of Karka was left over, was mortgaged property. Vepach, and we're going to have to reverse the opinions of Shimon and Tana Kama. And we're going to say like this, that if we're going to say the machlokes is that do we have to have real estate or metatlin, the Tana Kama is going to be of the opinion that even metatlin could be considered the Maisa dinner. And Rav Shimon is going to be machmer, and he's going to say it has to be real estate. And if the machlokes is, if the Maisa dinner that's left over is mortgaged, Tana Kama is going to hold that even mortgaged property can be considered the Maisa dinner. And Rav Shimon is going to hold that the Maisa dinner has to be unencumbered, unmortgaged properties. But according to both of these interpretations of the machlokes, In both interpretations, Rav Shimon is the machmer. And once we're saying that Rav Shimon is the machmer, the words of the Mishnah, Kivin Shahayasham, the way Rav Shimon expressed himself, that Rav Shimon is the machmer, makes a lot of sense. Amar Mazut Mishmed Rapapa, Hilchsa Bat Aloch is Achs Bechai Ve'achs V'Moisa. Going back to the machlokes that we discussed earlier in our shir and the previous shir, if one wife predeceased the husband and the other one afterwards, so there's a ksuba payment and a ksuba dichrin payment. Yeshlin ksuba spinin dichrin. We do say ksuba spinin dichrin, and we're not concerned for any dispute amongst the yarshim. And also, says Mazutra, the loch is ksuba nas maisel chaverta. The ksuba payment that the second wife or children are getting is considered the maisel dinner that we should be able to apply and give the children of the first wife the ksubas b'din dichrin payment. Sas the Gemara. Bishlami yashmin achs b'achai v'achs b'moisa yesh den ksubas b'din dichrin. If all Mazutra would have said is that the ksubas b'din dichrin payment is in order in the case that we've been describing, v'lo yashmin, and he wouldn't have said explicitly, oh, so the ksuba nasis moisa l'chaverta. Havamina, we might have an error thought, iyik a moisa dinner, if there's a moisa dinner in, we do Eloi loy. And if there isn't a Maisa dinner besides the ksuba payment that the second wife or her yarshim are getting, then we don't apply the ksuba spinin dichrin payment. Ella, but ask the Gemara, we always want to teach the Gemara, the Chazal always wanted to speak in the most succinct fashion. So ask the Gemara, Lashminin, all they should have said was, the ksuba nas moisel chaverta. And if you tell me that halacha, and now Yadana will automatically know that why do we need to know this halacha of ksuba nas moisel chaverta? Because the halacha is that achs b'chayv, achs b'moisel, yesh, like ksuba's been dichrin. So why do we have to say both statements? It should have been adequate just to say the statement of achs b'chayv, achs b'moisel, and that will help us understand everything. Answers the Gemara. If all we would have said
If all Mazutra would have told us,
we could have made a mistake where we have Kagan Shloisa Noshim, where we would think where there's three wives, and two wives died before the husband,
and one wife died after him.
And the wife that died after her husband, Yoledes Nekevahi,
she only had girls,
V'labas Yerushahi, and therefore she isn't going to be one of the Yarshim of her father.
So since in such a case, there's no concern for arguments amongst the Yarshim, that the wife, that the child who's getting mother's ksuba will say, I'm excluded from some of the Yerusha, because she's excluded anyway, because she's a girl.
But it will have the same in a case where the child of the woman who's collecting ksuba was a zacher. There, he is a Yairish, and we could end up having the dispute that we described earlier. Maybe in such a case,
that the ksuba from the dichron is paid, and the concern about this dispute is dismissed.
We've been learning about the ksuba spinin dichron payment that Chazal instituted. It's interesting to point out, there's a question that many poskim discuss. Is it appropriate or not appropriate to take out a life insurance policy? So the Divrei Cheskel says that really the way he looks at a life insurance policy is that you're buying a policy from a company who sells these policies and gets the money that they receive for the payments. And what they do with it is that they invest the money. And he says, interestingly, that typically these companies are successful investors. And since they're successful investors, all you're doing when you're buying such a policy is investing with people who have a good track record in investing money. And that there's nothing wrong to do. The Devet Sina Rav, however, in the Child's Chuvas Be'er Moshe, Chel Ches Simen Kuf Yud Ches, uses the concept that we've been discussing in our Shurim of Ksuvas Benin Dichrin. He says that we think about the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, as we explained in our previous year, the father of the wife says, I'm going to give my husband, my son-in-law, a decent Nadunya, but I'm concerned that it shouldn't end up in the hands of people who aren't my grandchildren. And the question is, why is he worried about what's going to happen in the future? Doesn't Amun HaBitachin tell us that we don't have to worry about what's going to be in the future? The Torah tells us Hilchos Yerusha. We see from here that Chazal accepted that people should and could be concerned about the future. And just like we see in Al-Gemara and the concept of Ksuvos from the Dichrin, that people should be and could be concerned about the future, so too is the same with buying a life insurance policy. And he actually uses another halacha that we've learned a number of times in our Masechta to prove that point. The halacha is, B'ushe eskinu, ha-mevazbez, ayivazbez, yosem mechaymish. A person should not give away to tzedakah more than 20%. Why is the halacha that a person should not give away to tzedakah more than 20%? Because as we learned through Rishonim, we'll explain, Chazal were concerned that he should not be left destitute. But if we live with Amun HaBitachin, why should we be worried about that? So we see that Amun HaBitachin doesn't exclude us from living and being concerned about our situation and the future. Rav Ozner Zatzal and the Shas of Tshuva Shevet Alevi, Chelek Dalet Simon Aleph, discusses this as well. And he says two points. He says, anything which is considered a normal way that people live is not considered a lack of Amun HaBitachin. Just like going to work is not considered a lack of Amun HaBitachin, because that's the way the world works. People have to go to work and earn money to be able to live. Buying insurance policies, which are so much part of the world that we live in, is not therefore considered a lack of Amun HaBitachin. On the other hand, he says, if there is an individual who could be so confident that he lives with Amun HaBitachin and he's confident that Hashem will take care of him and he truly lives his life that way, such an individual suggests the Shevet HaLevi maybe doesn't and shouldn't have to buy life insurance policies. Mishal Yonosim Shtei Nosim, so says the Mishnah, somebody who's married to two wives
Umesu, and both predeceased him. Vachkach Mesu, and then he passed away. Bisarav Akshim Ksuba Simon. And the children of both of these wives want the Ksubas of the mothers. And even though the mothers died before the father, but they're still entitled to get the Ksubas. It was a Ksubas Benen Dechren. Says the Mishnah, Ve'ain Shom Elish Dei Ksubas. And all that the father left over in his estate is the value of the two Ksubas, nothing more. Chalke B'Shava. So as we've been discussing, there is no Ksubas Benen Dechren payment there. Because Chazal did not want the Ksubas Benen Dechren payment to abolish and nullify any Ksuba payment, any Yerusha. And if we'll pay this out, there won't be any Yerusha payment, and therefore the Ksuba Sunei Dichon doesn't pay it. However, as we described earlier, Yesham, Hayesham, Maisa Dinner, if we'll give both of the families, each one of them, the Ksuba Sunei Dichon, and the state will still have left over Maisa Dinner to divide as Yerusha, so then, says the Mishnah Dalok, is Eila Noitin Ksuba Simon, one wife's children take their ksubas siman, the ksubas b'nei dechren, ve'elin noten ksubas siman, and so too is the other child, and then we divide the remainder as Yerusha. Why does the Mishnah, ask the Shita, have to add the words, mevakshin ksubas siman? What does it mean? So he gives a number of explanations. One explanation, that at the time of death, the assets were not that valuable, but then they became more valuable. And that's when they're asking for the Ksuba Sunei Dichron payment. And the Mishnah is saying that since at the time, as we're going to learn, since at the time of death, it wasn't a Maaser Dinner, the fact that there's a Maaser Dinner later is immaterial. Another way of explaining is that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the Ksuba, both mothers, are identical. So why is there a need for Ksuba Sunei Dichron? And the explanation is because one wife has more children and one wife has less children. And another explanation that the Rishonim give is, let's say the two families agree that they're going to collect the Ksuba Sunei Dichron, even though it'll mean there won't be Yerusha. Our Mishnah is teaching us that we won't pay the Ksuba Sunei Dichron if the price of paying the Ksuba Sunei Dichron is abolishing and nullifying Hilchas Yerusha. But says the Mishnah further, Imamri Yisoymim, if the wife of one Ksubas Benen Dichron is more valuable than the other one, so they want to be able to collect the Ksubas Benen Dichron, the only issue we have here is that there's no Maaser Dinner. So what they say is, Anachnu Mal Mal Nechsei Avinu Yofa Dinner. We're willing to make that dinner that's left. We're willing to make that the remainder of our father's estate should be worth a dinner. We'll contribute a dinner. We'll over-evaluate the property and be able to pay it. And the reason they're doing this is because by doing so and achieving that the remainder is equal to a dinner, they'll be able, Kadesh Yitlu Ksibas Eman, they'll be able to collect the Ksus from the Dichrin. The Alokas Ain Shemulhem. We don't accept what they're going to say. Ella, the halacha is Shamanas and Chasum Bezdin. Bezdin's the one that makes the evaluation. And if based on Bezdin's evaluation that there is no dinner, then we just divide the Yerusha and there's no Ksubas Benen Dichron. And I saw the Ritva explains that what the Mishnah is saying is that even though Bezdin knows that down the road there will be a Maaser Dinner, they know that the real estate market is going up. They know that there may be customers who are willing to spend more and it will be worth more than a dinner. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that right now it's not worth a dinner, and since there's, right now it has to be worth a dinner. And that's why the Rishonim, the Shita, says it has to be a very honest evaluation, a very honest assessment. And if based on the current assessment, it's not a dinner, then there's not going to be Ksuas from the Dichron. And if there is, there will be. Hayesham Nechasim Beroi, if there are assets that are going to ultimately end up in this estate, but right now they're not. In other words, there's a person who owes money, there's a person who is a potential person who, when he dies, this estate will be the yorshim of that asset. The halacha is enem b'mukhsad. The halacha is, since right now it doesn't have that value of a dinner, ksubas nedichin doesn't apply. Rav Shimon Omer, afil yesham nechasim she'en lam achrayis, even if there's a moisa dinner, but not of real estate, of metatlin, of cash, and a klum. In order to fulfill the obligation of a moisa dinner, says Rav Shimon, it has to be atche yesham nechasim she'esh lam achrayis, yoysa shtei ksubas dinner. Tan Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, the Braisa, speaking about this type of situation. Lazu elef, lazu chamesh meis. We have these two wives. One had a ksuba of 1,000 zuz, and one had a ksuba of 500 zuz. Im yesham meisa dinner. If there's a meisa dinner, then elu noitlen ksuba saim, av elu noitlen ksuba simon. We applied halacha ksubas nendichen, vimlav, and if not, the halacha is yichalka b'shava. They divided equally. So, the question that the Rishonim, of course, asked is, what is this Braisa teaching us that we haven't learned in the Mishnah? So I saw that the Shita explains that the Mishnah, we were thought that the Mishnah is only speaking about a case, as I discussed in the Mishnah, where the two ksubas are really equal. There's only a difference how many children there were from the first wife versus how many children there were from the second wife. So our Braisa teaches us that under all circumstances, that's one circumstance of a of ksubas b'nendikrin, and that is another circumstance of ksubas b'nendikrin where one is more valuable than the other. Says the Gemara, Pshita, Merubin, if at the moment of death there was a moisa dinner and a smatu, and then it goes down in value, it doesn't make a difference. Kvazoch ben yorshim. Right now there was a moisa dinner, and since there was a moisa dinner, we apply the rule of ksubas b'nendikrin. However, Muatin, if at the moment of death there was no ksubas, there was no moisa dinner. But nisrabu, but then ultimately that became more valuable, and now there is a moisa dinner. Mai, what will be the halacha? Will we say that we look at the moment of death, and there wasn't a moisa dinner, or do we say ultimately there was a moisa dinner? So all the Rishonim obviously ask, why would we treat this differently than the previous case? Just like we said that as long as there was a moisa dinner at the time of death, the fact that it got less value is immaterial. So we should say the other way as well. If there wasn't a moisa dinner at the time of death, the fact that ultimately there became a moisa dinner, why is that a consideration? So the Ramban says that if it was a moisa dinner, so at the moment of death, the Yorshim got their ksuras from the Nidikrin, and that can never be taken away. But if there wasn't a moisa dinner, so there was nothing to divide yet. And maybe by the time we come to divide, there is a moisa dinner. Another explanation that I saw that the Ritva explains, that when we speak about Yerusha, so Yerusha is always following the moment of death. But when we speak about other factors, we don't necessarily look at the moment of death. And therefore, maybe for other halachas, if it goes up in value later, that should be taken into consideration. Toshma, says the Mordechai Nichsi, the Beit Tzartza. There was the assets, the estate of Beit Tzartza, which was a situation, says the Gemara Mutav and the Srabah Hava. At the moment of death, there wasn't a Maisa dinner, and then it became more valuable. And says the Gemara Vosla Kameder of Amram, they came with this kind of a question to Rav Amram. Amalu Zil Pasenu, give them ksubas b'nendikrin, because right now there's a moisa dinner. Loi ajkhu, the people who were dissatisfied with this psak did not follow it. Amaluhu, and Rav Amram told them, ilam efaislu mechin l'chabasilvadol ma b'dama. If you won't do what I said, that I told you to try to figure it out with the older, with the people who have this ksus b'nendikrin, mechin l'chu, I will hit you b'saluah b'loy ma b'dama, with a stick that doesn't cause any blood to come out, which means a cheirim. It's a punishment that doesn't cause physical harm. Shadrin l'kamedra of Nachman, amalai k'shem, and he told them, no, that k'shem shemrubim v'nesmatu, as long as there was a moisab dinner at the moment of death, zoch ben yarshim, we applied halach ksubas b'nendikrin. Similarly, kach nisrabu, martav nisrabu, even though ultimately they went up in value, it doesn't make a difference. Zoch ben yarshim, we don't apply the halacha of
ksubas, we don't apply the halacha of ksubas benin dichrin. Simon aleph amayim mitzvah ksuba Yaakov zakev sadoisa b'dvar masikin. Who gavred avimaskulu alpha zuzay? There was an individual that owed $1,000. Chazle treyapanli, and he had two homes. Zavninu, and he sold those two homes to an individual. Chad b'chamish meya, one for 500, and chad b'chamish meya, and the other one for 500. Asba chayif, and then the person to whom this person who owed money, the loiva who owed money, sold his properties, but the malva comes and says to him, you owe me money. So he says, well, I don't have any. So he says, okay, I'm going to the person who bought property from you. So what he did was, tarf lechada, he collected one of those homes, and now he was about to be tarf leidach. He went to collect the other home because he was owed 1,000 zuz, and each home was worth 500 zuz. Shokal alfa zuz. So the person who purchased the home took 1,000 zuz, because of the gabe, went to the malva. Amalani said to them like this, Ish avilach, if the property that you took is worth to you alfa zuz, is worth to you 1,000 zuz, so you collected the entire amount that's owed to you. Lachai, wonderful. Viloi, and if it's not worth to you $1,000, shokl alfa zuz, so here I'm giving you 1,000 zuz cash, vestalik, and the home that you collected, give back, because you're not going to have any home, because all you want to do is collect your $1,000, you get it. And he thought to himself that this person is interested in having the home, and therefore this home was bought only for 500 zuz, he'll be willing to take it rather than just getting $1,000 cash. Savro b'chomel meimah, hani masnisin. Isn't that the case of our Mishnah, where there wasn't a moisa dinner, and the yisoyimim who have to gain by getting the ksubas benin dichrin said, "Harei on a malam al nitzli yivef dinner will raise it in the value. We don't accept it." So here too, how could this lokeach say, "Well, I'm willing to evaluate it as $1,000"? Amlei Rava. So Rava said to Rav Mecham Midami, "Hasim islei psei deliyasmi." But the yisoyimim saying this, the other yisoyimim will lose out because we're going to give the ksubas benin dichrin payment. Hacha, mi yislei pseida, the malva's not going to lose anything. If he says, well, I don't want the home, all the home is worth is 500 zuz, and I'm owed 1,000 zuz, so alfa yov, alfa zuz, he'll get the 1,000 zuz. So there's nobody that's going to lose by applying this concept. Since no one's going to lose by applying this concept, it's a legitimate concept. Says the Gemara, v'tirfa. But now the Gemara says, so this person, this malva was willing to take the house. The question is, this lokeach is going to go back to the loiva. How much does he have a right to collect? 500 or 1,000? But tirfa kamaka svinan, when he wants to go back to the loiva, how much does he collect? Ravina, says the Gemara, Ravina Oma Alpha, he collects the 1,000 because he gave him a property that the malva was willing to accept as being equal, 1,000. He gets only 500 because that's how much he spent for it. And says the Gemara, the aloch is 500, like Rav Avira, that Rav Avira said. Hu gavra, continues the Gemara, dava mafke meya. So there was a loiva that owed 100 zuz. Have a trick to the Arab. And he had two pieces of property. One was sold by 50 zuz, the other one for 50 zuz. So of course, the Meiri asks, why does the Gemara have to say this story, which really is a duplicate of the previous story? So the Meiri says that the reason the Gemara mentions this story, because in the previous story, there was one person who bought both houses from the loiva. Here, the two pieces of property that the loiva is selling was sold to two different people. Chadzvin b'chamshin, one piece of property was sold by 50 zuz, the chad b'chamshin, the other piece of property was 50 zuz. Os b'chav, tavel chad minayu. And the b'chav went and collected one piece of property. Now, says the Gemara, had also a katar of lidach. Now he's prepared to collect the other piece of property because he's owed a total of 100. Shokel mei zuz v'kozel gabei. So the buyer
came to him and said to him, Amalei, ishavi lach mei zuz, if the piece of property that you collected, if it's worth to you 50 zuz, 100 zuz, l'chai, so your debt is satisfied. V'ilay, if it's not worth to you 100 zuz, shkol mei zuz, here, I'm giving you 100 zuz. V'stalak, your obligation is satisfied, but you're not entitled to collect any property. Sover of Yosef l'meimah. So again, the Gemara has the same discussion. Sover Yosef l'meimah, hainam asnisen. Isn't that the same as our Mishnah, where the Yisayim can't say, well, to us, it's worth more. And like that, to be able to have a Moisa dinner. Amrlei abayi midami, the situation is not the same. Hosam islay b'seid liyasmi. By one group of Yisayim saying that, well, we'll overpay for that piece of property, the other Yisayim will lose out, because then we're going to apply the halacha of ksus from the different. Hocha, but in this case, my b'seid islay, nobody's losing out. Meyov, the Malva lent 1,000, or Meir Shakal, and he's getting 1,000. He lent 100, and he's getting 100. Either he's getting 100 cash, or if he's not getting 100 cash, he's getting a piece of property that he's saying is worth to me 100. So it's very different. Again, ask the Gemara, when the Lekeach now goes back to the Malva, how much is written? V'tera for Bekama Kasvinen, Revi Amo B'meya, Rav Avira Amar B'chamshin, and says the Gemara, the Hilchasa B'chamshin, that he gets 50. So I saw that the Shita asks, why does the Gemara say V'Hilchasa B'chamishmeya? Wasn't the Gemara say Hilchasa K'Rav Avira? To teach us, says the Gemara, that because the property is really only worth that much, the property didn't go up, you can't write a document that it's worth 1,000. Who gave that a mask? There was a person that owed 100 zuz and shachav, and he passed away. Vishavik, and he left over assets to his yorshim. Vishavik katina da'ara, that was shav shacham shin zuz. He left over a piece of property that was worth 50 zuz. Also, b'chayv b'kol tarflei, and the b'chayv went and collected it because it was money that was owed to him. Also, yasvei yavlei cham shin zuz. The yosaimim went to the Baal Chayv that collected this piece of property and paid him 50 zuzot for that property. Hadar katarflay. So now he says, again, you have the piece of property. I'm still owed 50 zuz. I'm taking it back. And he said that the first, because I'm still owed that money. Also kamei derbaya. Amalei. So Abai said, since there's a locha mitzvah yusayim lefroy chayv aviyim, the yusayim have to pay the debts of their father. Hani kamei, the first 50 that they gave what mitzvah do, were done to fulfill that mitzvah. Hash the kitarif, and now when they're collecting, when he's collecting the other 50, within kitarif. Loy amaran, but says the word, this halacha is only, loy amrle, hani chamishin zuzi, when they did not say when they gave the first 50, loy amrle, hani chamshin zuzi, that the $50 we're buying for the piece of property, made the ayur katina. We're buying it because we just want to buy property. Amalei Chamshin Zuzi Demei Arakatina, that they're saying we're buying it because we just want to buy this piece of property, but not that it's going to be part of our father's estate. Selukis Lakua, he has no right to collect that property. So here the Gemara introduced the concept of mitzvah al yisoymim lefroya chayv aviyim. There's interesting machlokes rishonim. When does this mitzvah apply? The Rashi says that there's a mitzvah midrabanan, but Bezdin can't force the Yisoymim to fulfill this mitzvah. The Rambam says that the Yisoymim don't have to use their own money to fulfill this mitzvah. Only money that the father left over they have to use. The Rashbah disagrees, and he holds that they have to spend their own money to pay their father's debts and uphold his honor. Says the Agos Ashri, this machlokes of the Rambam and the Rashba is actually connected to Gemara Masechta Gedushin, the Flamed Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara discusses the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im. Rabbi Yehuda says that the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im obligates the son to even spend his own money in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im. Whereas Reb Nosson says that mitzvah kibbutz av'eim is only with the parents' money, not with your own money. says the Agos Ashri, that that's the machlokes, the Rambam Rashba. According to the Rashba, that you have to use even your own money to pay off your father's debts, because his opinion is that mitzvah kibbutz of aim is even from your own money. The Rambam, however, says that the halacha is that the mitzvah kibbutz of aim is only with your parents' money. And if your parents, for example, don't have money, like in our Gemara, there would be no mitzvah to use your own money to pay off your father's debts. The mitzvah kibbutz of aim is only with the parents' money, not with your own money.